Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, July 19th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks gain as traders bet on aggressive policy from the Fed.
Trade talks between the U.S. and Chinese officials offer little sign of progress.
Steady demand for cloud computing boosts earnings from Microsoft.
And Boeing plans a nearly $5 billion charge over its 737 MAX.
Iran denies the U.S. destroyed one of its drones in the Strait of Hormuz. Plus, protect yourself from the heat this weekend. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, Yankees sweep a twin bill, Mets lose a marathon, and it's cut day at the Open Championship.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures following stocks in Europe and Asia higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 101. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. The CAC in Paris up almost 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 up about the same. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.04%. Yield on the two-year, 1.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 62 cents at $55.92 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $12.50 at $14.40.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1252 against the dollar and the yen 107.64. Nathan.
Karen, global stocks are getting a boost from the Fed following remarks from Vice Chairman Richard Clarida and New York President John Williams. Both stressed the need to act quickly if the U.S. economy looks likely to stumble. Remarks from Williams specifically boosted bets for a 50-point basis rate cut this month, prompting a spokesman for the New York Fed to take the unusual step of clarifying his comments, saying they were part of an academic speech, not about potential policy. We get more from Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cranfield.
The S&P 500 future briefly reversed once we had the clarification from the New York Fed. Then it just went all the way back to where it had been late in New York trading. So for now, at least, equities really are in no mood to see anything other than the very best that can be offered from the Fed.
Still, remarks from Clarida and Williams line up with last week's testimony from Chairman Jerome Powell. Jeffrey Kleintop is Chief Global Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab.
You know, the movie theaters are full of films about superheroes right now. I think the market sees the Fed as not guardians of the galaxy, but guardians of the economy and able to use their superpowers to try and avert this global economic slowdown. But I don't think a few rate cuts is going to make the difference, whether it's 25 or 50 basis points at the end of this month. This is probably a mild economic downturn that's global in scope.
Yesterday's comments were the last before the Fed enters a blackout period before its policy meeting.
The prospect of aggressive measures from the Fed helped boost stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Japan's Nikkei index led gains in the region, recouping Thursday's losses with a rise of 2%. Japanese chip makers were among the best performers, while TSMC in Taiwan climbed to its highest level in 2 months after the chip maker delivered a rosy revenue outlook. Hong Kong and Chinese stocks also posted solid gains Friday, along with markets in Australia and South Korea, although India's equity market underperformed. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. On the trade front, senior U.S. and Chinese officials spoke by phone last night. It's their second call since last month's trade truce, but there's still little sign of progress. Bloomberg's Brian Fowler reports from Tokyo.
USTR Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin spoke with their counterparts. And previously, Mnuchin had said that if such a call were to take place, it could very easily lead to some kind of commitment for in-person meetings. At the conclusion of this call, we didn't get any details about how it went and certainly no follow-up in terms of meetings that have been planned. So it's unclear how the call went, but we didn't get the kind of optimistic sounds you might hope to get after such a call.
There are still deep differences between Beijing and Washington, with Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross cautioning that negotiations could be a long, involved process.
Huawei is still a major sticking point, with China insisting that the U.S. ease restrictions on the company. But lawmakers like Republican Senator Rick Scott of Florida remain opposed to such a move. Scott spoke with Bloomberg from Capitol Hill.
I mean, it's not a trade issue. Huawei is a national security issue, and so you shouldn't be putting them together at all.
Ultimately, Senator Scott believes there will not be a deal between the U.S. and China.
Because I don't believe China is a fair competitor. They don't comply with the WTO. They steal our technology. They don't open up their markets. And by the way, they negotiate a deal and then try to change the terms. You don't do that and get deals done. So I don't believe there will be a deal, but Huawei is non-negotiable.
This week, a bipartisan group of lawmakers introduced a measure that would not allow the White House to bypass Congress to remove Huawei from the technology blacklist.
On the earnings front, Microsoft beat estimates for sales and profit thanks to steady demand for its cloud computing services. Anurag Rana covers Microsoft for Bloomberg Intelligence.
You know, overall, cloud business is very strong for Microsoft. You know, we think they are well positioned than almost any other company out there because they have a good footprint on legacy enterprises as well as public cloud.
Microsoft's Windows business also outperformed. Right now, shares are up 3.5% in early trading.
When Boeing reports earnings next week, the company plans to record a $4.9 billion charge related to its 737 MAX jet. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The after-tax charge covers potential concessions and considerations for airline customers who've been forced to cancel thousands of flights and line up replacement aircraft since the MAX was grounded in March. Boeing says the cost will clip $5.6 billion from revenue and pre-tax earnings in the quarter after two deadly crashes in a five-month span engulfed the U.S. plane maker in one of the biggest crises in its century-long history. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Shares of Bayer are up nearly 2% as a $2 billion verdict in its Roundup trial is set to be slashed. A judge says he's inclined to cut the penalty to about $250 million or even as low as $150 million.
And on the M&A front, AB InBev has agreed to sell its Australian operations to Asahi for about $11 billion. The Belgian company says it's also still considering reviving an IPO of its Asian unit. And right now, futures are higher. S&P futures up 7.5 points. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr on this Friday morning to find out what's going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The New York City triathlon scheduled for this Sunday has been canceled due to the extreme heat levels expected for race day. The announcement was made last night after the National Weather Service issued an excessive heat warning for the tri-state area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, it's going to be a hot one for the tri-state area. Folks are definitely going to want to take advantage of any cooling centers or parks, anywhere they can get to the beach this weekend, though I imagine the beach is going to be very, very crowded with the heat. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for the tri-state area. Temperatures this weekend up around 100 degrees, but the heat index is going to be in excess of 105. That's why you're going to want to limit your time outside to before 10 a.m. or after 5 p.m. And again, good news is we break the heat wave on Sunday night with a cold front pushing down from the north. So it's going to be hot this weekend, but just through the weekend. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. President Donald Trump says the U.S. immediately destroyed an Iranian drone that approached the USS Boxer near the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump says the drone was a threat to the ship and its crew in the latest sign of escalating tensions with Iran.
The United States reserves the right to defend our personnel, our facilities, and interests, and calls upon all nations to condemn Iran's attempts to disrupt freedom of navigation, and global commerce.
Meanwhile, Tehran denies losing a drone. More than 100 supporters greeted Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar when she arrived at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport yesterday. Homemade signs read things like, "Stand with Ilhan." President Trump says he now disagrees with chants from his North Carolina rally toward Omar when the crowd cried, "Send her back." Omar told her supporters at the airport it feels good to be home.
We are going to continue to be a nightmare to this president because his policies are a nightmare to us.
Omar later held a town hall in Minneapolis. President Trump announced that he will nominate Eugene Scalia, the son of late Justice Antonin Scalia, as Secretary of Labor to replace Alex Acosta. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The best way to put distance between yourself and a second-place Rays is to beat them twice.
Hit on the ground. Base hit. Right center field. Judge scores. And Encarnacion coming home. The throw is not in time. It goes all the way to the backstop. And on to second goes Didi. It is a two-run base hit for Didi Gregorius. Yes, indeedy.
Yankees radio as the Yankees take a doubleheader in the Bronx, 6-2 and 5-1. Domingo Germán in the opener improved to 12-2. Manager Aaron Boone went on a rant at the umpiring crew and then dubbed his team savages, admiring their grit in the nightcap as they rallied for four runs in the sixth inning and Luke Voit homered while Luis Sessa earned the win. Lead is back to 8. Interleague play continues tonight at the stadium. The Rockies are in town. Kyle Freeland faces Jay Happ. Mets saw the 2014 World Series version of Madison Bumgarner in San Francisco as the Giants ace through 9 superb innings. Nothing to show for it, though. The game was decided in 16.
Here's the 1-0 to Solano. He lines one past the reach of Alonso into right field. And that's exactly what they do. The Giants come from behind in the bottom of the 16th inning.
Giants radio 3-2 to open the weekend series. Giants have won 6 straight, hottest team in baseball. Tonight it's Jacob deGrom and Tyler Beattie at 10:15. And golf's final major of the year, the 148th Open Championship from Royal Portrush in Ireland. Top scores currently 500 par. Brooks Koepka, 2 back. Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth are 4 off the pace. Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods all projected to miss the cut. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We talk youth sports with former NHL player Jeff Hamilton, who just coached the Connecticut Junior Rangers to the championship of the prestigious Brick Tournament in Edmonton. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and Asia are climbing alongside U.S. futures on investor optimism about a more aggressive policy move by the Federal Reserve. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 98 and NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 66 cents at $55.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $10.50 to $14.38.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1247 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2520 and the yen 107.67. It's been a busy week for earnings, and companies including BlackRock, American Express, and Schlumberger are due out today. And we get a look at consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan today as well at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. An Iranian news agency is reporting that the country's armed forces say all Iranian drones in the Persian Gulf returned safely to their bases and that there was no confrontation with a U.S. warship. The report comes after President Trump said the USS Boxer took defensive action after an Iranian drone came within 1,000 yards in the Strait of Hormuz. A new poll shows former Vice President Joe Biden has a solid lead in the Democratic primary race. According to an NBC SurveyMonkey online poll, Biden has 25%, followed by Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren tied at 16%. And Senator Kamala Harris at 14%. In baseball, the Yankees won a doubleheader against the Rays. The Mets lost after 16 innings against the Giants 3-2. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals. The A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined this morning by Lindsay Piegza, chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Nice to talk with you as always, Lindsay. I wonder if you can help us sort through the latest speak we've gotten from Federal Reserve officials, the New York Fed chief John Williams saying there is a need to act quickly at the first sign of economic distress, only for the bank itself to come out and say, well, he was talking in terms of an academic research. What do you see going on here?
Well, he certainly was talking more broadly in the sense of how the Fed should act if the economy begins to show clear signs of weakness. But we apply that thinking to today, and we see that he was very much seemingly supporting the notion of a preemptive type of rate cut, given that we are seeing very clear weakness bubbling underneath the surface. So I do think that, taken in the context of what we heard from the Federal Reserve Chairman during his semiannual monetary policy testimony before Congress, that there is this growing support among Fed officials to take action sooner rather than later. They're very clear the economy is not falling off a cliff at this point, but they do want to use the tools at their disposal in order to keep the U.S. economy in a good place, as the chairman described it.
So do you think then that we could see a deeper cut than 25 basis points at the end of this month?
I think right now the Fed is willing to cut rates, and the first step would be a 25 basis point reduction. Now, certainly 50 basis points is on the table, but I do think that would be a bit overly aggressive given that the data is still very uneven. We're still seeing pockets of moderate data. Of course, we're seeing also indications of weakness gaining momentum. But we also have to remember that the Fed is still actively engaged in quantitative tightening, meaning they're still right-sizing the balance sheet. So it seems a bit counterintuitive that they would take such a large step in reducing rates 50 basis points while they're still addressing the balance sheet. Instead, I think it makes more sense they would take a more muted cut, continue to right-size the balance sheet, which they're targeting to be completed in September. And then if they continue to see the need for additional accommodative support, we see a second round rate cut later on in the year.
What impact would you see a 25 basis point cut having on the real economy?
Well, it is 25 basis points. So I do think it would have a very minimal nominal impact. However, I do think it will also send the signal to the market, to consumers, to businesses, to investors, that the Fed is increasingly willing and able to support the economy going forward. So I do think in good sense, this would be more of a confidence move in terms of policy adjustments. Also sending the signal that the Fed is not going to wait, as it has in the past, until it's almost too late for the Fed to take action. The economy is already tumbling towards or into recession. And at that point, the Fed needs to aggressively cut rates in order to help stave off that recession. So with rhetoric talking about preemptive rate cuts and the Fed stepping up with a minimal 25 basis point reduction, I do think that will very much support confidence and expectations in the marketplace.
So then do you think that a modest cut like that would be supportive of further gains for the markets? I mean, we're close to records now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This could be seen as a very positive support for the equity market. Again, when you're looking at what we're seeing in equities, if we ignored all the other data, we would expect the U.S. economy to be growing at a 3%, 4%, maybe even 5% clip, which is clearly not the reality that we're seeing. So at some point, we would expect equities to correct back down to reality and reflective of a longer-term run rate of the U.S. economy closer to 1.8%, so sub 2%. But in the near term, again, as the U.S. economy is clearly on moderate footing, so not falling off that cliff scenario as we talked about, the Fed stepping in and willing to provide additional support could, at least in the near term, continue to fuel upward momentum in equities.
Lindsay Piegza, chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Always good to get your insights, helping us to clarify the Fed speak this morning. And again, of course, the Fed rate decision coming July 31st. We will have full coverage in the run-up right here on Bloomberg Radio. Taking a look at the markets right now, they are pointed higher on this Friday morning, pretty much across the board. S&P futures up 7.5 points now. Dow futures up 104 points, and NASDAQ futures ahead by 31. 10-year down 4/32, the yield 2.03%, 2-year treasuries 1.78%. Coming up to 5:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we will have more on the latest Fed speak and signals toward a rate cut, plus all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. This is Bloomberg. And tune into the weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the week ahead on Wall Street. You can catch that tomorrow morning at 5, 4 that afternoon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. The Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits. To learn more, download a guide for real estate investors at EisnerAmper.com/QOFbook.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as we close out the trading week. Dow futures are up 93 points. European averages are up about 0.5%. And Japan's Nikkei rose 2%.
Investors are gaining optimism about more aggressive policy coming from the Federal Reserve. Bets on a 50 basis point rate hike this month rose, cut, after comments from New York Fed President John Williams, though a spokesman for the New York Fed has since walked back those comments, saying they were an academic speech and not about potential policy. Michael Sneed is head of macro quant and derivative strategy at BNP Paribas.
We think there'll be 25 basis point rate cuts. We think 50 basis points is quite unlikely, but we do think they'll follow with another rate cut later this year.
And we get that Fed decision in a little under 2 weeks, July 31st.
Also adding to the market optimism, corporate earnings. Microsoft shares are trading at an all-time high following quarterly sales and profit that topped estimates. Begin more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The company's cloud computing business racked up clients for Azure Web Services and Office Productivity Software. The stock has jumped on optimism about the company's cloud business and on some investors' belief that Microsoft is a haven as U.S. and European regulators sharpen their scrutiny of other large technology firms. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And Microsoft shares are up more than 3% to $141.
Earnings continue today with 8 companies in the S&P 500 reporting, including American Express. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
American Express has an ambitious revenue growth target of 8 to 10% for the year. Bloomberg Intelligence sees that as achievable, but says it will likely come in at the low end. Analysts expect to hear that spending volume grew 7% in the second quarter. The consensus is that Amex will post revenue of nearly $10.9 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Shares of Boeing rose almost 2% in late trading. The company plans to report a $4.9 billion accounting charge related to its beleaguered 737 MAX jetliner. Boeing says the plane will return to service in the fourth quarter, easing fears the timetable could slip into next year. S&P futures are up 7 points, Dow futures up 97, NASDAQ futures up 31. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. says it has shot down an Iranian drone in the Strait of Hormuz. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The USS Boxer is a large naval WASP model assault ship, and the president says the drone came within 1,000 yards.
Ignoring multiple calls to stand down and was threatening the safety of the ship and the ship's crew, the drone was immediately destroyed.
He says an offensive action on the U.S. will protect its assets in the region. Meanwhile, the U.S. is demanding the release of a small Panamanian flag tanker that was seized by Iran in the strait. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, Iran's deputy foreign minister says Iran has not lost any drone in the Strait of Hormuz, nor anywhere else. This weekend, the tri-state area is under an excessive heat warning from noon today until 8 p.m. Sunday. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio has already declared a heat emergency. People are advised to take advantage of cooling centers. The target of the Send Her Back chant at a Trump rally in North Carolina got a warm welcome in her home state of Minnesota. Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar told a town hall in Minneapolis she isn't backing down.
I know there are a lot of people that are trying to distract us now, but I want you all to know that we are not going to let down.
President Trump is disavowing the cries of send her back from his followers when he questioned the loyalty of the Somali-born congresswoman. Trump says he tried to stop the chant, though video suggests otherwise. Senator Elizabeth Warren will square off against Senator Bernie Sanders and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, along with seven other Democratic presidential hopefuls, on night one of the second Democratic debates on July 30th in Detroit. In Sioux City, Iowa last night, Warren described her strategy.
It's about talking about vision for what we're going to do. I think that's what everyone on the stage will be doing.
I should say she'll debate in night one of the second Democratic debates. Meanwhile, an NBC SurveyMonkey poll shows former Vice President Joe Biden leading the Democratic presidential field with 25%. Warren and Sanders are at 16%. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees have the Rays' number as New York took both ends of a doubleheader on Thursday, 6-2 and 5-1, in a day that saw skipper Aaron Boone go on a rant. He got fired up at the umpiring crew. He then took time to reflect on the separation in the standings.
All our high leverage, guys, Cess and Nestor picking us up big time in the middle innings there. Greeny wiggling off the hook there in the first inning. I mean, just a really good all-around team effort, which, obviously it takes against a club like that.
Yankees increased their lead to 8 over Tampa Bay. Domingo Herman won his 12th, and there were home runs for Aaron Hicks and Luke Voit. Homestand continues tonight. It's interleague play as Colorado pays a visit. Jay Happ hosts Kyle Freeland. You're a true diehard Mets fan if you stayed up only to endure the suffering of a 16-inning triumph for San Francisco out west, 3-2. Madison Bumgarner returned to old form, spinning 9 innings, while Donovan Solano had the walk-off hit. Pete Alonso homered in a losing cause, also in the 16th. Series continues tonight as Tyler Beattie entertains Jacob deGrom at 10:15. And it's cut day at the Open Championship at Northern Ireland's Royal Portrush. Highest score we've seen thus far is J.B. Holmes at 6 under par. Brooks Koepka's 3 back. Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth are 5 off the pace. Rory, Tiger, and Phil Mickelson all projected to miss the cut. Tiger just underway. Mick gets underway at 8 a.m. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, the extreme heats forced the cancellation of a couple of key sporting events this weekend. Sunday's New York City Triathlon isn't happening. It's being canceled for the first time in its 18-year history. Organizers estimate 4,000 people had registered. And the New York Runners, Roadrunners also canceled tomorrow's 10-mile marathon training series race. And the New York Racing Association has canceled Saturday's card of racing at Saratoga. It's coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on Fed Chair Jay Powell's guide to managing President Trump. Chris Condon wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
I spoke to a lot of people who have worked with Jay Powell over the years, and the picture emerges is, first of all, of a very cool customer, rather unflappable guy who is pretty well personally suited to handle this barrage of criticism.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Governor Andrew Cuomo has awarded a couple of contracts for offshore wind projects off of Long Island. They're the biggest ever in the U.S., totaling 1,700 megawatts in capacity. Equinor, in a joint venture between Denmark's Ørsted and Massachusetts-based Eversource Energy, were chosen to build those farms. Port Authority of New York and New Jersey has issued a request for information for the design and development of JFK Central. The nearly 14-acre mixed-use space is at the center of Kennedy Airport. Governor Cuomo issued a $13 billion plan for the future of the airport last October. Employers cut about 1,400 jobs in Connecticut in June. Most of those losses were in local government, according to the State Department of Labor. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, Boeing sees a $4.9 billion hit from the grounding of its 737 MAX.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, we're talking about a judge poised to slash a $2 billion Roundup herbicide jury verdict.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on MPs voting to make it harder for the new Prime Minister to suspend Parliament if he tries to push through a no-deal Brexit.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Cleveland Cliffs reports second quarter earnings today.
And another story we're watching, the largest casino operator in Las Vegas is considering the sale and leaseback of some of its iconic properties. Bloomberg News has learned MGM Resorts is soliciting interest from potential buyers for the Bellagio and the MGM Grand. Activist fund Starboard Capital's built a position in MGM and plans to push for changes. S&P futures 6 points higher right now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and Asia climbing alongside U.S. stock index futures as an uninvestor optimism about a more aggressive policy move by the Federal Reserve. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 90. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6% or 88 cents at $56.18 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $13 to $14.41 an ounce. The euro 1.1240 against the dollar. The yen 107.67. And a busy week for earnings winds up today with companies including BlackRock, American Express, and Schlumberger all reporting. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says an Iranian drone flew too close to a U.S. military ship in the Strait of Hormuz, prompting action by the U.S. and the shootdown of the drone aircraft. President Trump says he intends to nominate Eugene Scalia, a prominent Washington lawyer and son of late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, to be his new labor secretary. If confirmed by the Senate, he would replace Alex Acosta, who announced his resignation last week amid an outcry over his handling of a sex crimes case against disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. In baseball, the Yankees won a doubleheader against the Rays. The Mets lost after 16 innings against the Giants 3-2. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals. The A's lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
Coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. And Bloomberg Opinion columnist Bobby Ghosh joins us from our London bureau with a look at diplomacy from Iran, particularly given reports that the U.S. has shot down an Iranian drone. A very timely piece from you this morning, Bobby. Tell us more about how you see Iran conducting itself on the world stage.
Hi, Nathan. Right now, most of what we hear about Iran has to do with military conflict, with nuclear weapons, with drones, things like that. But behind the scenes a little bit, away from the headlines, the way Iran conducts its diplomacy with the West One of the ways it conducts its diplomacy with the West is to take hostages. The regime there is on the lookout for dual nationals, so American Iranians or French Iranians or British Iranians who've gone to Iran either on vacation or to do some work. And every now and again, they'll grab one of these people, they'll cook up some charges against them and toss them in jail, and then try to use them as hostage to try and get something out of the West. And we've seen that happen even this past week, when just as Iran needs something from the Europeans, from the British and the French and the Germans, they have grabbed a French-Iranian researcher, a 60-year-old woman with impeccable academic credentials. They've locked her up and they're claiming that she's a spy, which is risible. And they've taken a British hostage who's been in Iranian prison for the past 3 years, and they've thrown her into a psychiatric ward. This comes at the moment when they need the British, they want the British to release an oil tanker that the British Navy picked up off the coast of Gibraltar, because that oil tanker was bringing oil to Syria. This is one of the ways in which Iran communicates with the world, in the sort of fairly crude medieval fashion. You do what we say, or we'll grab your people and do horrible things to them.
And it also comes as Iran is trying to negotiate this framework to get around U.S. sanctions and continue trading oil with the with Europe. How should Europe be responding to this now?
Well, so this is a real problem for Europe. European countries, liberal democracies, should and do care about their citizens and want to do the best thing they can by their citizens. On the other hand, you don't want to give in to blackmail by a totalitarian regime. Now, in the past, there have been instances of a quid pro quo. The French themselves, for instance, a few years ago, there was a French national who the Iranians held for a little less than a year and released her just a couple of days before the French themselves released an Iranian assassin, somebody who had been sent from Tehran to kill an Iranian politician in France. Now, at the time, the French and the Iranians said, no, this is not a swap. But nobody believed them, quite rightly so. And I think the Iranians are counting on something like that again. This instance, they're not just looking for a prisoner swap. They're looking for, to put it crudely, money. They want to see the economic benefits for having signed up a nuclear deal with Europe and the United States and China and Russia. That happened in 2015. They haven't yet seen that money. The U.S. has pulled out of the deal, and they're pressing the Europeans, the French, the Brits, and the Germans to deliver that cash. And my sense is that the capture and the taking hostage of this French national is one of the ways in which they're trying to put pressure on the French president, Emmanuel Macron. Mm.
Bloomberg opinion columnist Bobby Ghosh from London. Thank you again, Bobby. Really appreciate it. You can read more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
President Trump plans to nominate business attorney Eugene Scalia to fill the recently opened labor secretary role. The announcement came one day before current Secretary Alexander Acosta is set to leave. Prosecutors are bringing rare criminal charges against the former president and compliance officer of defunct drug distributor Miami Lucan. They allege the man ignored red flags about millions of their painkillers flooding small West Virginia towns. And renewable energy development on federal land in the West could get a boost under a bipartisan bill in the House.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, another legal development we're watching. Jeffrey Epstein remaining behind bars after a judge denied his request for bail. It's an early win for prosecutors that increases pressure on the accused child sex trafficker and his defense team. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Robert Mintz, a former federal prosecutor and partner at McCarter & English.
Bob, Epstein asked to be allowed to await trial at his Manhattan mansion with electronic monitoring and a private security team, and pledging his fortune of at least $500 million as collateral. It was expected that he wouldn't get home detention, but explain why his case is different from, say, Bernie Madoff or Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who got to stay in what prosecutors refer to as a gilded cage.
Well, it really is a decision that is up to the discretion of the judge, June. So different judges may view the same facts and circumstances differently, and some may allow a defendant to remain home confinement leading up to trial. But in this case, the facts here really checked off so many of the boxes that would give a judge concern about risk of flight and danger to the community that it was not a surprise that Judge Berman did not allow him out. The fact that he had so many assets at his disposal, cash and diamonds, he had houses all over the country but also internationally, and I think the judge was concerned about the fact that there was a false passport in his possession in the safe when agents went in and raided his house. Those are the kinds of things that will give any judge pause before he would allow a defendant in a high-profile case like this to remain out on bail, even under those stringent terms for home confinement.
Two alleged victims testified pleading with the judge not to grant Epstein bail. That almost made it impossible, didn't it, for the judge to grant bail here?
That absolutely was a major factor. While prosecutors made the argument that Epstein was an extreme flight risk and they said he posed an overwhelming risk of flight, it really seemed to be the danger to the community prong that the judge looked at that really swayed his decision. In fact, the judge said that it was at the heart of his decision, and he heard, as you said, from those two alleged victims about the conduct that they alleged Mr. Epstein was engaged in, and the judge also knew about some evidence that Mr. Epstein had wired $350,000 to two potential witnesses, which also raised the question of potential witness tampering. So all of that, I think, weighed heavily on the judge on the danger to the community prong here and also played a significant role in his ultimate decision.
And that's Bob Mintz, former federal prosecutor and partner at McCarter & English, speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 3.5 points. Dow futures up 69, NASDAQ futures up 23, 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.03%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.78%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.4% or 76 cents at $56.05 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.